Hi everyone, this is the 9th episode of the second season of the Pedal Podcast, and I had one of, it's really hard to say how to introduce someone who's so close to your heart. I had Roxy, Roxana Cashewards with me, who's Bristol and UK pedal royalty. She's an absolute she's amazing. She has played a massive part in my development, my love for the sport, and it's just great to have her on the podcast, and that I can call her my friend. She was a really successful squash player. She was around the top 100 in the world, top 20 in the UK, which is quite of a big deal. And she picked up pedal around 2 years ago, and she hasn't looked back ever since. Now she's saying on the podcast that she's converted. She is, as I say, you know, she's an amazing human being, and it was just unbelievable to have her on the podcast and to talk to her and to actually, it wasn't the easiest one, and you can hear it on the podcast as well that, there was quite a bit of interference as well with the sound somehow. I mean, we should have done it in person, really, but you know, I just prefer the Zoom. I shouldn't have done it this time because obviously I met her the day before, and then we just like talked about it that this is how it's gonna be. But anyway, it was a great chat. You get to know Roxy, who's now the head of pedal of Rocket Pedal. She was the center manager of Pedal for All in Lockleys. So she has been now in pedal for quite a bit, if you consider the youth of the sport. And yeah, please do have a listen. I certainly enjoyed it. I hope you will as well. And please give me a like, subscribe, whatever. You know, I just don't really know what to ask. I'm not that type of person. But anyway, if you follow me, it's an absolute privilege for me. And yeah, please enjoy the Pedal Podcast, and hopefully see you all soon. Hi everyone, this is second season of the Pedal Podcast, but I've got one of my best friends in pedal with me today. It has been quite a tough one to get her on the podcast, but I've got Roxy Cashewards. I just like to call you with the Z as an a C, but I know that you don't really pronounce your name that way. But anyway, I will stick to this one. So Roxy is Bristol royalty in pedal, maybe even in the UK, and you will hear a lot about her and how she ended up in pedal. But now she's really busy, and she will tell us why. But welcome, Roxy. How you doing? How's your day so far?
Hey Dennis, glad to be on. Brilliant day, although it's pouring down in Bristol, so not brilliant, but at least we're indoors.
Yeah, 100%, because you are, where are you now?
I'm at Rocket Pedal now, okay. Rocket Pedal Bristol.
Okay. Before we actually get into the sort of nitty-gritty stuff, please tell me, how did you get into pedal?
So firstly, I'm a born and bred squash player, 22 years of playing squash, and my old squash club, Edgbaston Priory in Birmingham, they had a temporary paddle court built, and for probably about a year, even longer, I refused to play paddle. I was saying, I'm a squash player, I'm never going to play paddle, it's a silly sport, and I won't play it. And then March 2022, they needed ladies for the club champs. So I just said, I'll play as long as you find me a player and tell me the rules. And then, I picked it up and I absolutely loved it. Never looked back. Got into paddle then. I saw a job going in Bristol, so still based in Birmingham at the time, for Paddle for All, as their club manager there. So I went for that, got the job, relocated to Bristol, and then started that in August 2022. I managed that centre, and then up until last month. And now I'm at Rocket Pedal.
And what do you do in Rocket Pedal?
So I'm the head of paddle here. So basically, anything on the paddle courts, I manage. So whether that's corporates, getting into schools, tournaments, internal tournaments, external tournaments, and obviously the current weekly schedule as well. So just the normal program.
Yeah, because obviously rocket pedal is one, if not the biggest. I mean, I know that the rocket pedal Bristol is the biggest club in the UK, and they're opening one in Ilford, which we'll talk about. But it's quite an interesting one to see how rocket pedal actually took over the UK, and now we know about the third location as well, which will be the Battersea Power Station, which is like one of the nicest, quirkiest place in London already. And what about four state-of-the-art pedal courts coming there as well? Well, are you going to be placed between Bristol and London, or how will that look like?
So for the time being, I'll just be based here in Bristol. But in terms of, I guess, programs or maybe like strategies in terms of going into schools or corporates or charities or whatever that might be, then potentially, being over there or maybe just sharing my knowledge in terms of how we can make that better or create something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we spoke about it many times, and I just have to say that when so you rated me. That's also one more funny thing about it, because I remember that like my usual partner, shout out to Rob, he started off as an improver, and you just felt like he's not good enough, and now he's literally almost a 5.0 on Playtomic. So you did a great job of actually belittling him. And he still is under the impression that he's not good enough because of you. So thank you very much for that, Rox. So jokes aside, I feel like when Pedal landed in Bristol, let's call it a year and a little bit ago, when you became the center manager of Pedal for All in Lockleys, you did an absolutely vital job to get this all going, and I think it's such a great thing that you took it with a little bit different mindset than maybe some of the other Pedal center managers, because I mean basically I can say that. Again, one of my avid listeners, Marcus Garcia, will also shout out to Chimmy Paddle. And the you guys, both of you, had such a vital role in making Paddle what it is now in Bristol. And yeah, I just wanted to say there's no question here. It's just more of an acknowledgement of how amazing job you both did. So Rocket Paddle is really, really lucky to have you as part of the team. So it's great that you're there. So are you now converted?
I think so, unfortunately. Yeah, I am.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? But I might have heard that you might pick up a squash racket again because you have some Olympics ambition, don't you?
Potentially, yeah. So obviously I'm half Romanian. So now squash is finally in the Olympics. Could be a potential for me. What's that? LA 2028. And 28 is my favorite number as well. So it's kind of fate.
What was your best ranking in squash?
125 in the world.
Okay, and what about in the UK?
I think it was about 17 in the UK as seniors, like open.
And we often joke about it, but where are you from originally?
Stoke-on-Trent. The Midlands, not the North.
I'm not gonna say what I feel about Stoke, will I? But yeah, it's an interesting place to come from, and I know that on your first potential yeah, like the first thing you did when you came out of school is I think you relocated, right?
Pretty much, yeah. So, well, as soon as I left, yeah, it was like university age. That was when I was playing squash professionally, and yeah, I tried to get out as quick as possible. But
So
Stoke is
what's,
brilliant.
yeah, well, some might argue, but But let's just close that debate for now, because we might have different I think belief about that town, which doesn't even have a high street. So yeah, tell me about what's going to be the plans for Rocket Pedal in general, Rocket Pedal Bristol. Why were you brought on board? What was Seb's and Frederick's idea of you when you actually spoke about it? What's the whole point of now you're being head of Pedal?
So the main thing is really increasing participation. So obviously Bristol, as we all know, is at the moment seems to be the hub of the UK for paddle. But that, doesn't necessarily stop there. So then we need to get more people coming in, especially daytime. Actually all paddle centres here in Bristol will be quieter in the daytime. So how do we get that footfall coming in? So whether that is corporates or schools or whatever that might be, so maybe like U3A or something like that, the kind of older generation coming in to make our courts busy. And yeah, as you mentioned, like Seb and Frederick and Carl, they're looking to obviously expand a lot across the UK. So let's start now because we've got Bristol in place. It is the UK's largest, so let's do a good job here. And then as we grow, we can implement that in other centres.
When is Ilford opening?
8th of April, so very soon.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And when is the grand opening, or is not really something
That
which you can talk
will
about?
be, yeah. 8th of April will be the grand opening. Although we might be looking at getting maybe some, I don't know actually, whether we're getting some VIPs in or maybe watch this space.
Oh, yeah, this space. Yeah, definitely watch the Pedal podcast. Yeah, but no, but because the opening of Bristol has been quite a spectacle, and that has been an absolutely amazing party, and everyone could try the sport, and there were a lot of great players. And when you and at the moment while we're speaking, there's the FIT Prize in London, which is taking place, and I'm hoping that sooner rather than later, one of these FIT Prize or maybe even FIT tournaments can take place in one of the Rocket centers, because I'm fairly biased as well. I do play most of my paddle in Rocket, and I was quite happy when you joined the team. But also a massive shout out to the other Marcus as well, Bolin. So that's he's an absolutely lovely guy. So I don't want to be all positive, but to be fair, when I love these guys so much, it's quite hard not to be biased, because whatever you guys do, it's just making sense. So that's great to see. Tell me about what's gonna happen with Battersea. So what do we know? What's gonna happen there, and when are they opening, and what can the general public know?
So in terms of Battersea, there will be four courts. So that will be opening, as far as I'm aware, late summer this year.
Thank you. You're giving me so thorough answers that it's really it's I have to say to the listeners as well, this is the first time I haven't sent out questions. So literally this is the first time. So I was hoping that Roxy's gonna just really take the floor. She's gonna give me really thorough, really, really long answers. And here I am, literally asked 15 questions, and we're in 10 minutes of our chat. So great. Cheers, Rox. So you're making my job really easy. Okay, let's talk about something else then. What does Pedal need to do to A, become an Olympic sport? B, what do you guys, for example, need to do to actually make a British player become maybe better than a top 100? Because I think Sam Jones is now playing FIPS, so I mean Premier Padel. So it's actually quite close to him to getting to the top 100 if he gets to the main draw, and he gets a few results together. So that's great to see. Although he's still quite a bit away, but Sam seems to be the closest to getting to that stage. But what do you think? What are the steps? Because obviously you thought about it, but what are the steps for Pedal and for Britain to get this, first of all, the top 100 or maybe top 50 or maybe even better? And the second thought is, what does Pedal need to do to get into the Olympics?
I think, well, starting with the Olympics, it's the amount of players playing across number of countries. So you need, I don't know the actual number, but it needs to be men's and women's played across, I want to say like 72 countries or something like that. So that's something that we're not there yet. So that will be something that in the future, to push it, we need to get to that number. In terms of getting GB players or UK players into the top 100. For me, it's going to be starting at grassroots and working your way up that way. Right now, we've got a lot of our top players that will be playing with the top players over in Spain because in the UK, we just don't have level. So if you look at the top 100, what's that like 90%, maybe even more? Are Spanish and Argentinian. So we need to get that, in other countries as well. It's huge in, Italy, France, Scandinavian countries, but they're still not there in terms of top 100. So it's how do those countries, as well as us, how do we get to there? So it is, I'd always say start at grassroots and work your way up. And when we do that, hopefully we'll get there. It will take years, but we will get there. And that's one of my main focuses is going into schools and starting them early because there's no point in, I mean, they could do it, but if realistically, if a 20-year-old now picks up a paddle racket, it's going to be harder for them to make the top 100. Whereas if a 7-year-old picks up a paddle racket now, it's going to be a lot easier for them. In terms of progression to get into that top 100.
Yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah, and I agree on that one. It's like, but I don't necessarily think, or I don't really accept that answer that okay, everyone should go and train in Spain, because I don't necessarily think that's the way forwards. I think the way forwards is to get the Spanish here, or to get the coaches here who actually do a lot for the sport. And it's not always the M3 Academy and in Madrid. It's not about Malaga. It's not about, all those guys who like practice with each other. There should be something more. And I know that Tom Murray is working tirelessly to actually get that something going for the British players. And look, there's a handful of players who are already not a million miles away, maybe a million miles away if you look at like the Premier Padel and Coelho, Tapia and all those guys. But I think grassroots is definitely important, but also the better coaches to be kept here, not just for sessions or
Yeah, correct.
clinics. I think that's a vital point. How regularly do you play?
Play properly, probably once a week, not even that, but being on court every day, all day, every day.
So now you're coaching as well as being head of paddle.
I am coaching, yeah. So right now I'm doing one-to-ones. I've just created a new program as well, so that's just been uploaded today. So there'll be a lot of kind of group coaching, social sessions, kind of like game plays, match plays as well that are in the program. So I'll be on courts quite a lot doing that, and also obviously intro to paddles, which is what we call here at Rocket Paddle Crash Course. So it's just an introductory to paddle, you're on court for 1 hour, and we teach you all the basics.
And how did the weekend go? Because I've seen you play a great two, so tell me about how you did.
So we lost to the winners in the semi-final. So we got them, we drawed them in the top half. Both brilliant players. So shout out to Sarah Lockery and Kerry White. Both brilliant players. And yeah, me and my partner, we unfortunately didn't win. But yeah, it's great to be able to play at that standard. It's hard. I know, Bristol's, like I said, the hub of the UK, but in terms of having top players, even top 20 players, we're not there in the UK. It's all mainly all the better players are like South London, like London based. So then for me to get some good padel would have to be competitions. I can't just turn up to like a club training session and be able to play the likes of Sarah and Kerry on a daily basis where they all get to do that. And it's hard when you want to get to that level and you don't get to be able to play at that level every day.
Yeah, it's I think it's fairly early for us still, because like Paddle has been here in Bristol for a year and a half, roughly. So you know, it's not gonna happen overnight. We all need to play a lot, and I, including myself as well. I think that is vital, and you should get on court and play more and be more patient as well. So that's one more thing which needs to happen. But jokes aside, also shout out to Alicia, your partner in crime, because we play quite a bit together, and she's absolutely brilliant. We give a lot of shout outs, but you know, this is how it is when this community is so well kept and well oiled, and we love each other to bits. So you know, it's absolutely amazing what's happening, and obviously we are getting better. And it was quite an interesting one to see this grade two in Rocket over the last weekend, because we could see the top players like Nikhil Mohindra or Tom Farquharson, and you know, all these guys. And you sort of put yourself on the map. At least you know that you're still a million miles away, so that's great to see. No, it's not great to see, but you know how it is. It's like, you know, those guys have been playing for years, and 1.5 years, if you're like a massive talent, maybe you might be able to nick out a few games. But I'm old, fat, and slow, so for me, it's not gonna happen. But anyway, I think that's what we need to do, and that's like local tournaments would be also quite good in Rocket. That would be something which would be great, because obviously the grade threes are good, but you know, we don't really compete even against each other. That's why Lockleaze was great in Paddle for All. Sorry, Paddle 4 was great in Lockleaze, because there was always the tri series, how you called it, which was great, because we competed against each other. So that's one more thing which really need to happen. And I know that like George Modler is doing a great job with trying to organize a league in Bristol, because there's now five clubs with courts. So that's good to know. And I just sort of 5.5 with David Lloyd, but those courts are a bit questionable. And you know, if you hit a kick smash, it's gonna land in the gutters. So you don't
Incredible.
really want, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't necessarily want to do that. But yeah, I think you know, Bristol is evolving, and the players are getting better, but we're so far away from London still. What I usually say as well is Bristol is behind Hungary in general, but London is ahead of Hungary, because like I play with the best players in Hungary, and they are definitely better than the Bristol players. But you know, when you see all these guys, like I can just like go back to Nikhil, he's absolutely amazing, and they just literally sweeped the tournament. So it was fun, and you were taking pictures with everyone, so you're on all the pictures, as you are. But
Prince of Rocket Paddle.
yeah, absolutely. But Rox, what's your plan with competing in paddle as well? Do you have any plans?
Mean, I would absolutely love to be able to compete in a lot more tournaments that I do. So in total, I've done four tournaments throughout the past year and a half. And I'd love to do more. I'd love to get, I guess, my name out there. I'd love to be able to play against the top players. But you know, as we've mentioned, they're mainly in London. So even, you know, even the FIP this week, it would have been quite nice just to even, you know, get my name out there, enter that, and even in the qualifying or something like that. But I just don't really have much time to be able to do that. And especially, you know, I'm on court, but I'm not on court, if that makes sense. So I'm not practicing any of my shots. I'm kind of just feeding the ball. And I guess a lot of coaches will kind of understand that when you're then going from coaching to then playing. Even, yesterday, the advanced match play here at Rocket last night. So I went from coaching absolute beginners to then going on and playing this advanced match play. And I ended up just like noticing feeling my opponents, and I'm thinking, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah, we didn't get to play yesterday, unfortunately,
No.
because I would have loved those feeds for my kick smash. It would have benefited them. But I mean, we had a good session yesterday, and there's also an amazing, so that's just something great. These advanced sessions on Wednesdays, they're just like a must have, and there was a bit of an issue about maybe that will be canceled, but now it's staying on. It was just thrown out, but then now it's back on. So it's great because that sort of gives my weeks a nice just, every Wednesday I know where I will be. So that's good to have, and I know that now you're obviously playing quite a lot with us boys as well. So it will benefit your game 100%, or I mean, I hope it will, because
Me too.
you get used to these bigger shots, which definitely helps. But your defense is from squash, so that's also happening. What can you tell me about, like, the plans of what's happening with Rocket? So when, obviously, we spoke about these two courts which are coming up, or clubs which are coming up. Where next?
So later this year, there'll be Croydon, which will also be at least 9 courts. So kind of similar to Ilford. And then we're looking likely to be next year, but also Ealing Broadway. That will be in the UK. There's also scope for obviously Europe. As you're probably aware, we've already opened 2 in Denmark. There's a lot of expansions, and they're looking. Seb, Fred, and Carl are always really keen to expand. So it's a watch this space for the next few. But this year, most definitely, Ilford, Battersea, and Croydon.
So Ealing Broadway is in the UK as well, as you said, but it's in London. So that's just
Yeah.
so yeah. But I also said it on it was actually an interview with me. Yeah, it wasn't on the podcast, that I feel like London alone can have 1,000 courts, and I think it would still be full. Which might be a bit of an exaggeration, but I think that's something which can definitely happen. Because look, we are talking about a city which has more than 10 million population. So if you think about it, that's absolutely insane. Those numbers are insane, and I think Bristol can have like 100 courts easy, because I think Bristol could fill up those courts. But we are talking about a 400,000, 450,000 population with Bristol. So if we take that like London is 20 times bigger, then at the moment there's less courts in London than in Bristol. So there, I think it's great policy from the mentioned guys, that it is really evolving in London, and they're looking for expansion in London, because I think people want to play. They don't have a lot of places to play, and more people will be drawn in. Why is paddle so great? What would you say?
You know what? I just absolutely love it. And one of the main reasons I think personally that it's the fastest growing sport in the world is because it's so easy to pick up. You don't need necessarily a background in tennis or squash or any racket sports to be able to have a good match. Obviously, it's good to have that, especially tennis players at the net. They'll be ridiculously good at volleying. Squash players at the back of the court, they'll be really good at digging the ball out at the in the back corners. But in terms of, I guess, beginners, total beginners, if you come in off the streets and you've never played paddle before, After half an hour, as long as you've got a good coach that can teach you the basic rules, you will be able to get a good game with random four people. Whereas let's take squash for example, a lot of people say that you need to be super fit to have a good game of squash, and it's kind of true. Obviously, you do need some good fitness to be able to run around the squash court for half an hour, but there's also, I guess, a bit of technique. And with the paddle racket and a paddle ball, which is really bouncy, it's literally just a bat and a ball that you're hitting around a big court over a net. And it's just really simple. And what I always say to beginners is the racket literally looks like a swing ball bat. And you'd like to think most people in the world have used a swing ball bat or a beach ball bat or something like that, where they've gone on holiday with their family and they're playing around on the beach with little bat and ball. So paddles just as easy to pick up than anything like that, which it's just brilliant because you can have a good game, and it's social. So there's four of you on a court. It is sometimes hard to get four people, but with the Playtomic app that we use, with also the WhatsApp groups that we have, with just word of mouth, so someone can message me and say I'm looking for one more player of a particular standard, I can pretty much find that one person within half an hour, and manage to get a fourth. So with that, it's really social. You have a drink afterwards, and it's just great fun.
Yeah. Which side do you play on?
With Alicia, my paddle partner, I play on the right.
But you're a natural left side player, aren't you?
I probably, yeah. I've been told a few times that I should play on the left. So we've just entered a grade two at the start of April at Surge. So we might get some practice in, and I might sneak on the left. We'll see.
Yeah, she's really solid, Alicia. So I can see why you're actually thinking of maybe swapping, because you're the wild horse from you two, 100%. But yeah, and I noticed, I mean, I know about it, but the listeners don't, that I have seen a new sponsor who sponsors you. So what racket do you play with now?
I now play with a ball paddle elite.
Okay,
So yeah, ball paddle racket.
and how do you enjoy it?
You know what? I love it. And it's not, I think it gives me so much time as well. So I'm not smashing it around. It's not as hard as my old racket. So I can't always, when I see that ball, I have to still take time and I have to be patient. So it actually allows me, and you mentioned it last night actually, saying that I seem to be playing with a lot more patience, so the racket has helped me.
Good. And how are their shoes? Because I never actually tried the bull paddle shoe, and I know that now you have the shoes as well. So you can be honest here.
Know what? I love them. I mean, they're really, really comfortable. I have my own insoles, my special insoles, but they're really comfortable. And I think one of the main things with paddle that I know we've discussed it, and I discuss it a lot with other players as well, the shoes. You need to have good shoes to be able to play. And I guess that's the same with every sport, really. But if you really want to properly concentrate on that sport, you need to really invest in some good paddle trainers. So, and I used to use Asics because I've kind of been brought up on that in squash. So I was always kind of, I'll play with that because that's what I'm used to. But these ball paddle trainers, they're brilliant, really good.
Yeah, they do have the Vibram soles as well, which are quite interesting to see on a pedal shoe. But to be fair, they do work. And if you look at the pros, we do all know the pros, like Chingotto, Paquito, obviously Gemma Triay, Salazar. So there's a lot of different players who do use a full bull paddle gear, with not just the racket, but everything is bull paddle. Dineno, I almost forgot, one of the best right-hand players on the planet. So yeah, but they all use the shoes as well, which is great to see. And it is a good brand. It's it's really making waves. And I know that in Bristol now, more and more people do use bull paddle. Really, like, there's so many different types of rackets that it's fairly easy for them to actually find something which will suit each player. So that's great. What are your plans in paddle for the next 5 years?
Oh, good question. I haven't thought about that, to be honest. I mean, I know full well that my future will be paddle. So whether that's playing, working in it, or whatever that might be, it's definitely going to be paddle. You know, I love the sport. I think it's the future. And for me, I really want to focus on growing that participation, especially from grassroots, because I think if we start now, there's going to be so much scope for us to, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, getting those top players in the UK in the top 100 in the world, which will be incredible because, as we're aware, the Spanish and Argentinian males and females, they're always dominating paddle or have. So let's try and kick those off the top spot and get some UK blood in there.
Yeah, and look, I think there's a scope for making it international. So I think at the moment we are talking about literally a really, really like Hispanic sort of language sport. Maybe it's just better to shout in Spanish. I don't know. Maybe that's the key for it, that if you shout those key words in Spanish, you're just gonna be better in paddle. But all jokes aside, I think there is a way to go about it, and I think it will happen. It's just a matter of when and where. But yeah, definitely the grassroots will help. But I always say that I think it's both. So even I've heard that some people say that, like, yeah, they should forget that they have a tennis background. But I always go back to that one. But that I think a tennis background wouldn't help. I think several sports does help to improve in a certain sport. And I know that, like, we're talking about a mixture of tennis and squash, but I think tennis players originally have a better chance of making it than squash players because of the volleys and the smashes, because that's a really vital thing. And once you get used to the víboras, the bandejas, you know, the different lobs than what you hit in tennis, because in tennis you try to put a lot of spin on it. In paddle, you don't. In paddle, you need a really high lob, which lands literally 10 centimeters away or 5 centimeters away from the back wall, so that it makes it really tough for the opponent to dig it out from the back wall. So it is something else what they need to do, what we all need to do in paddle. And once you get used to it and you get a feel for it, it will be quite interesting, because you know that I'm going to the Senior World Champs in April, and or I don't know if you know, you just look
Did not
stunned.
know. No. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna be playing as part of the Hungarian national team, so
Wow, amazing. Well, congratulations.
thank you. I don't think there was enough players, that's why they needed me to go in. But no, so all jokes aside, again, I think it will be quite an interesting one to see where the world is within paddle, because I haven't been, like, I've seen Hungarians play, I've seen British play, I've seen Spanish play, but you know, it's different on a fit prize, because you see that they're just so amazing, but then you try to go against them, and you're like, okay, yeah, they're great, but they, like, I don't think I will ever beat these guys. So, like, don't get me wrong. I can see why they're so good. And even with my tennis skills, I'm not gonna be able to get an advantage of like 20 years of paddle. Look at Gonzalo, for example, in the club, when he's on point, when he's not like missing every víbora there is in the world. Then he's absolutely amazing. So, you know, how it doesn't matter how, but you know, he's also 25 or something, so you know, that also helps. But yeah, so I think it will be a pretty good test. And I think mostly in the women's game, I think you ladies have a better chance than the men. That's always my belief. I think you have a better chance to make it. And even like Tia Norton would be a good example that I think she has the weapons, or Amy Gibson for that matter. They do have the weapon to maybe make it. I'm not talking about top 20, but maybe they can be on the Premier Padel tournaments. Do you follow professional padel?
To an extent, not as much as I would like to.
Not as much as I
I
do.
s I No, definitely not as much as you do. I don't think anyone does.
Nah, that's not true. Pablo Garcia definitely does. But no, so no, I get it. And who's your favorite player?
Female or male? Oh.
Both? Either?
I'm gonna have to go to Nello, you know. Oh, am I? Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to. I've said it.
Okay, and female?
I think just as a fellow ball paddle sponsored player, it'll be Gemma Trier, and I'm playing with her racket, and I've got her trainers, so we're basically the same person.
So you're literally just a fangirl of Gemma.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great, and she's doing really well. Maybe not as well as she used to a couple of years ago, or even last year, because last year Triay and Salazar were giving a lot of run for Jose Maria and for their money, Jose Maria and Ari Sanchez. So yeah, Ariana Sanchez and obviously Paula Jose Maria are the world number ones, and they're just like they're level above everyone else. The women's game is actually quite interesting, because in Mexico just last week it was an absolutely different final than what you're used to. You haven't seen those ladies that often who played, so it was good to see. And there was a Portuguese lady who was playing a Masters, or like that's not a Masters, it was a P1 1,000 points tournament. So that was great to see, which makes you wonder that maybe Tia Norton and Amy Gibson can maybe make it. Rox, you've been a pleasure to have on the podcast, as always. Next time you have to talk a lot more than what you did, because I had to be creative. But I know you're tired, so no worries about that at all. And I know that you have to be on court in like 20 minutes, so I'll give you some time so you can grab a coffee and maybe something to eat, because I'm pretty sure that you will need it. And see you in person soon. But it was a pleasure to have you, and you're a star.
Thanks, Dennis. It was always a pleasure. And yeah, thank you for inviting me. And next time I'll definitely have more chat, I promise.
Cheers.